the last page of many books, there's a Latin word that says finis, means the end. And in some respects, we could write finis across the pages of Blass and Pines, 1981. This is the last of our meetings. Just an hour or so, we're going to be heading out. And it is the end. But in many respects, in most respects, I believe, it's not the end. It's only the beginning. It's been our prayer this week, the part of many counselors, and I'm sure many of you young people, that we might all take something with us from these meetings. In many respects, this has been an unreal experience. This is not the real world up here at Last and Pines this week. In relation to our heavenly calling and the fact that we're going to be spending eternity with the Lord Jesus Christ, why, it is real. But you know, we're going back to a messy world down in the valley. We've talked, several have mentioned about the mountaintop experience, the peak of Lassen Pine. This is a mountaintop experience. But you know, we live in the valley, and it's a messy world down there. There's problems, there's heartaches, trials, temptations. I just want to conclude our time here this week with a little warning that in spite of our best intentions sometimes, we get encouraged by these meetings. We go back down to our jobs, school, our families, our assemblies, and we get discouraged. And things just don't go like we were hoping this week that they would. I was talking to Sid Osborne last night, and we were commenting about this, that you know, sometimes we have this terrific experience up here, and we're sincere, and we want it to last. But you know, it really can't, because this is an unreal world this week. I think one of the things that we need to realize that we're going to face down there is that we live in a world of compromise. The world wants each of us, as we head down the mountain, to compromise our convictions, compromise what we have learned here this week. I might just mention briefly that I'm talking primarily now this morning to those of us who know the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior. We've heard some faithful Gospels this week. Somebody mentioned last night that they're concerned that some of you have had another 5 layers of concrete put on you. You've just become hardened even more to the Gospel. The God of this world is working hard to blind your mind to the Gospel. And I feel badly about that. But this morning, I feel a burden to talk to those of us who are Christians. Perhaps some who really have a fervent desire to please the Lord as you leave here this day. And I think we need to realize that the world is going to want you to compromise that conviction. The thing I'd like to talk about this morning with the Lord's help is the need to have an uncompromising commitment to the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, when all is said and done, what this is all about this week is the Lord Jesus Christ. And I trust that each one of us have been drawn closer to Him. And we need to have that uncompromising commitment to His person. We could look into God's Word and find many examples of those who have been uncompromising in their commitment to God. I think of Joseph. Joseph had some rough experiences, but he had a commitment to serve God. I think of Joshua and Caleb, 2 out of the whole multitude of the children of Israel that went into the promised land that had left originally the land of Egypt. I think of Daniel. And the one I'd like to talk about a little bit this morning is Esther. So you might turn with me to the book of Esther. It's hard for me to believe that there are any here that don't know the story of Esther. To me, it's just one of the most exciting stories in Scripture. A few weeks ago, I read it before I went to bed. I just read the whole thing through. You know, it's nice to meditate on a verse or a few words in Scripture, and we need to do that. But sometimes we need to kind of get just an overview of something and read the first epistle of John or read Philippians. Just read it through. And it's nice, particularly in some of these historical passages, to just read the whole story. And it's exciting. You know, young people today, often they need to be titillated by the television or whatever. You know, it's difficult being a teacher in school these days because I'm not a teacher. But, you know, people, young people need to be stimulated through audio-visual kinds of things, because that's what they've come to expect. But here in the book of Esther, we have an exciting story. It's fantastic, the drama and the intrigue. And I can't tell you the whole story, but just briefly, you know, it's about this Esther, who is a captive young woman. And she is one of those who's being considered to take the place of Queen Vashti, who had offended King Ahasuerus, or Xerxes, King Xerxes. And it's interesting, just as an aside, mentioned in the book of Esther. And it's an interesting study to look at Vashti and Zeresh, Haman's wife, and lovely, committed Esther. Well, the first point I want to make is that there are many results of an uncompromising, committed life to the person of Christ. And the first one I'd like to mention is an uncommon standard. You know, if you're committed to the person of the Lord Jesus Christ, you're going to set an uncommon standard for yourself. By the way, we're going to look at about five or six of these. I'm just going to mention them briefly, hopefully. And all of them start with the prefix UN, un. So an uncompromising life is going to result in several different things. And the first is an uncommon standard. Several young women were being considered to replace Vashti as queen. And in the second chapter in verse 15, it says, "Now when the turn of Esther, the daughter of Abihail, the uncle of Mordecai, who had taken her for his daughter, was come to go in unto the king, she required nothing but what Hegai, the king's chamberlain, the keeper of the women, appointed. And Esther obtained favor in the sight of all them that looked upon her." If we go back to the earlier in the chapter, we find that these young women that were being considered could have anything at their disposal to make themselves beautiful, attractive, appealing to the king. Esther only went with that which was going to be provided for her. She trusted God. And you know, there's a parallel passage in Daniel, first chapter, verse 8. It says, "Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with the king's meat or drink of the king's wine." He had purpose of heart, and Esther had purpose of heart. And young people, if you're going to make it down there in the valley with your desire to have an uncompromising commitment to the Lord Jesus Christ, you're going to need to set an uncommon standard. Here in this book, we have God's standard for our lives. And it's an uncommon standard in relation to the world's values. And I'd just like to encourage you that if a thought comes into your mind of doing something, and you say, perhaps you challenge your parents or your friends with the comment that I've heard often and that I've said myself as a young person, "What's wrong with it? What's wrong with it?" I submit to you the possibility that that is not an uncommon standard. If you're looking for a way around something, then that perhaps is not the uncommon standard that is going to result from a life that is uncompromisingly committed to the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. The second point is that in an uncompromising life is that there's going to be an unashamed boldness. An unashamed boldness. chapter 5, something has happened in this story. Wicked Haman comes on the scene and he wants to destroy all the Jewish people. And Esther's uncle or cousin, Mordecai, lets Esther know about it. Esther's been chosen queen. She's now the queen, and she's faced with the need to be bold. And she mentions when Mordecai brings this problem before her, she says that in the fourth chapter, she reminds Mordecai in the 11th verse, "All the king's servants and the people of the king's provinces do know that whomsoever, whether man or woman, shall come unto the king into the inner court, who is not called, there is one law of his to put him to death, except such to whom the king shall hold out the golden scepter, that he may live. But I have not been called to come unto the king these 30 days." Well, and then we get to the 5th chapter, and Esther, as a result of her courage, her unashamed boldness, decides to go into the king and plead for her people. And I was thinking about a verse that was mentioned last night, Romans 1. "I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation." Do you realize that if Esther took the same stance that I sometimes take, and I suspect that some of you sometimes take, that all of those Jewish people under the rule of King Xerxes or Ahasuerus would have gone to their death. But Esther had an unashamed boldness. She had the courage, the commitment to go into the king. And as we read in the second verse of chapter 5, "And it was so when the king saw Esther, the queen, standing in the court, that she obtained favor in his sight. And the king held out to Esther the golden scepter that was in his hand. So Esther drew near and touched the top of the scepter." Her courage was rewarded. And I'd like to submit to you young people this morning that your courage, your unashamed boldness to the world, your testimony to the world is going to be rewarded. The third thing, however, is that when we have that uncompromising commitment, is that there's going to be some unusual tests. We'll go back to chapter 3. In that entire chapter, we see this test that has come into the life of Queen Esther with this wicked Haman who comes onto the scene. Esther was committed to the cause of God's people, and a test comes into her life because of this wicked Haman wanting to kill all of the Jewish people. And you know, as we leave here this morning, there's going to be some tests come into your lives. Are you ready for them? We talked about this being a mountaintop experience and you're going into the valley. Just be prepared for that. You know, this is not going to be the way it is. There's going to be some tests. And the Lord allows these tests for our blessing, our benefit, and our growth. You know, it's like muscles. If you don't exercise them, they don't grow. So, be prepared for those unusual tests. The fourth point of an uncompromising commitment is an unearthly protection. God is going to provide us with an unearthly protection. We have God's word that greater is he that is in you than he that is in this world. You know, Satan is the god of this world, but greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. And if we look at this book of Esther in its entirety, it's really interesting, and I'm sure most of you realize that the name of God is not mentioned once in this book. As far as I know, it's the only book in the Bible where God's name is not mentioned. And yet in this entire book, we see in a remarkable way God's provision for his people, his chosen people. And we see his protection over Esther and Mordecai. And it's an unearthly protection. There's nothing that this world can provide us in the way of protection like God himself can. The fifth point in this uncompromising commitment to the Lord Jesus Christ is that there's going to be unmeasurable blessing. Unmeasurable blessing. If we get down to the end of the book, read it through, we'll find that wicked Haman is hanged on the gallows that he had prepared for Mordecai and the Jews. And we find Mordecai exalted. We find Esther as the queen in the land whose word was respected. And so there was unmeasurable blessing. And a brother this morning in our prayer meeting read a verse in Malachi that I'd just like to read. Malachi 3 and verse 10. Says, bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house, and prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven, and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it. You know, as we're attracted to the Lord Jesus Christ, and as we put to death those deeds of the flesh, and we put down the world, there's going to be incredible blessing in our lives. My brother Bill, last night at the Sing, and I believe Dave at the end of his gospel meeting last night, talked about we need to put down the world. You know, if there's problems in our lives, if there's doubts in our soul as to what's going on, I submit to you that the problem is that there's too much of the world in our lives. We need to be more attracted to the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, the last point I'd like to make in these results of an uncompromising commitment to the Lord Jesus Christ is that you're going to be enjoying the unsearchable riches of Christ, as we have in Ephesians. The unsearchable riches of Christ. What a wonderful thing to be a Christian, to know the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior, and to be attracted to His person. We need it. You know, He's coming back very soon. It's been mentioned many times this week that perhaps before the day is over, before the meeting is over, we're going to be in the glory with the Lord Jesus Christ. What a wonderful thing. And yet, while we're down here, we can enjoy Him. We can enjoy Him greatly. And the reason we don't, I believe, is that sometimes we're willing to compromise what we believe. And I would just encourage you young people, as we go into prayer this morning, and as we head down the hill, that you hang in there with your commitments. I would encourage you that as you leave this place this morning, and you're faced with the first temptation, as you go down the hill, perhaps it's going to be to turn on the radio, to get back into that music trip. And instead of doing that, you consider something like the book of Esther. You know, it's fun to sometimes read around in the car. If you've got a long trip that you're facing, pick out some of these passages that are so interesting in God's Word. I think about the story of Joseph, as I mentioned, and Joshua and Caleb and all these wonderful stories. And when you get into that first temptation, hey, open up the book and read it first and read a chapter and pass it on to the next person and talk about these things. It's wonderful. I'd like to just close with quoting a hymn that I think speaks to the point. It's in our Little Flock hymn book, number 174. I'll just read it. O patient, spotless one, our hearts in meekness train to bear thy yoke and learn of thee that we may rest obtain. Jesus, thou art enough the mind and heart to fill, thy patient life to calm the soul, thy love its fear dispel. O fix our earnest gaze so wholly, Lord, on thee, that with thy beauty occupied we elsewhere none may see. I don't think there's any one of us in this room that can sing that hymn, but only as a prayer. It's not our style these days, but we can sing it as a prayer, and that should be our object, the Lord Jesus Christ. So fix our earnest gaze so holy, Lord, on thee, that with thy beauty occupied, we elsewhere none may see. Let's pray.